flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, Bears Nation, get ready to go. Beyond fired up to be here. This is exciting times. Cannot wait to get to work. Bear down, baby.
We're back, live with more Rami Metlock on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Bear down indeed, and with you for one more hour, we will make our predictions for Championship Sunday coming up before we wrap this thing up at 9 o'clock. And also, maybe a tough discussion for Bears fans to have a little later on this hour. But earlier today, the new Bears head coach, you just heard there, Ben Johnson, joined our guys Mully and Haw on the morning show right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bring you that right here, right now, on The Score Evening Show.
Good morning there, Mully. I thought I recognized that voice that I just heard. It's a blast from the past right there. Coach Shoup, he's one of my favorites.
That was great to talk to John Shoup the other day. We covered John Shoup. Mully and I have been here long enough that when he was the offensive coordinator. And then he said the thing about making different look the same looking different. And then you quoted him at your own press conference, and it was great to see, Ben. Just wondered that origin of that story, the seed that was planted when you were a walk-on quarterback at North Carolina to get into coaching. How important was that moment and John Shoup in your life?
Well, David, honestly, I've been around – that was my third coordinator in college, and it was the first time – John Shoup was – it was the first time I went into the building, went into the meeting room, was around a guy, and I said, I want to be like this man. He had that type of impact not only on the quarterback room but the entire offense, and just to see someone be that impactful in a young person's life, it really resonated with me. And so – soon after I spent that much time with him, that's when I started looking at, man, maybe I want to get into graduate assistant and see if coaching is in my future. Now, everyone had always said I'd be a – but I thought that was just their polite way of saying I'm not a really good player. You know what I mean? So, that happens sometimes. But, no, Shoup was very influential on me. His philosophy on offensive football I thought was top-notch, and it certainly was a big thing for me when I finally got my coordinator opportunity that I referenced back to. So he's one of my favorites.
That's great stuff. And, you know, we talked to him. I remember covering him back in the day when he would be at Hallis Hall at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you'd hear about him talking to Sean Payton. I believe he was in Dallas at the time. Like, young coaches staying up all night talking to each other. And that's when he said sleep is a superpower and talked about how he wished he had taken better care of himself. But in those days, it was all about the grind, grind, grind. And I'm thinking about you, and I'm thinking, my God, you're playing in a playoff game, and it was a disheartening finish, and you must have been up all night, and then you got your meeting saying goodbye. Now you're in Chicago, and you're doing all this media. I mean, sleep is a superpower, Coach. Are you without it? Have you been up for several days? How are you holding up?
Yeah, no. Listen, that's the name of the game. Shoup used to also say your body can handle a lot more than you really realize. Your body and your mind both, and so that's true as well. So it's a long season. it's a lot of late nights, but once you get into a rhythm, your body will respond, your mind will respond to it. And so, I feel great. This is it's been such an exciting opportunity for me that, I don't need to slow down right now. There's just too much going on. There's too much good going on right now that I just want the momentum to continue to build. I want a great staff to come together. And eventually we'll get going on the playbook. I want to reach out to all these players. I haven't had the opportunity to talk to everybody yet. I'm still getting to know the building. So, listen, there's a lot of work to get done, but I hate how the season ended for me in Detroit, but just the excitement level that I have moving forward, sleep's a thing of the past. We'll catch up on that later.
So you know well the relationship between perception and reality as a offensive coordinator and now a head coach in the NFL. And so the perception of you before we heard you the other day at Hallis Hall, Ben, I think was that, all right, offensive guru, great play designer, boy, he's innovative, don't know how he's going to command the room. You don't know how he is in front of players. And I don't know if that was always fair, but for the last month or so as we were pondering who's going to be the next head coach of the Bears, we were paying more attention to your press conferences, wondering how you connected and communicated. And I just wonder, from your perspective, how conscious you were or are of the offensive guru label, and sometimes how we assume that a guy can't be both an offensive guru and the, quote, leader of men.
Yeah, listen, there's each role you're in, whether it was quality control, position coach, coordinator, you try to focus on doing your job to the best of your ability. And so I proceeded with the coordinator role with that in mind. My job in front of the media was to really have a message for the players, hype up our players to a degree, and bring the message of the head coach out to the media and the fans as well. And so that was my role. It changes now. It changes now completely. I'm beyond confident that I'm ready for this. And this is really what I wanted. The players in that locker room in Detroit where I came from, I really believe they knew that this was coming at some point. The coaches, time and time again, would encourage, hey, Ben, you gotta do this, man. You're ready. It's time, you know? And so, mm-hmm. No, you listen to everybody around you, and the feedback you get is, no, it's this is the right move for me. And I know there's, you might not have seen much personality necessarily through media interviews or on the sideline on game day, but that's what the job called for at that time. And I think I've shown over the course of my career, I can morph and I can blend into whatever the job requires. So, yeah, it's a different deal going forward, and it's one that I'm really looking forward to.
So I'm just surfing the internet and reading whatever I can, preparing to talk to you, and I stumble across all these photos of you as a Cub fan, and it's you. You're very young, you and your brother and your dad out at Wrigley Field, and then there's you and your wife, like your, I guess, girlfriend do out at Wrigley Field, and then you're married, and now your kids are out, and you're all at Wrigley Field, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking to myself, and I heard the story that your brother signed up for seasons when he was like a senior in high school and then eventually gets it. And I'm thinking, like, my mother, you know, this is a guy with a game plan.
That's
this
confidence.
That's like your brother, you know, you don't come from huge money. I mean, I'm just saying the guy is obviously brilliant. He goes to MIT. He knows he's going to be able to afford tickets in Chicago to the Cubs when he's in high school as he's graduating. And then you benefit from that. You must come from like a family of geniuses. How can you describe your brother and what that connection to Chicago is?
Yeah, listen, I don't know. Genius might be going a little bit too far, but no, he is super sharp, and really, it's a credit to my parents. My folks are both educators. They're now retired, but my dad was formerly assistant coach in college. He got out of it when he started having kids and ended up being a high school administrator. And then my mom was a special education teacher. I have an older sister that's also in education. She's an assistant principal at the high school we went to. And so that was a big influence on us early, and you know, really rubbed off onto the kids. So we try to get good grades and all that. But no, it's funny that whole story of Chicago, because it took my brother, you know, six almost 8 years before his name got to the top of the wait list. And being able to, and so at that point, he had already graduated college, and he and his buddies were able to go in and I think get four tickets each and every season. So it's been pretty crazy to see that, how everything goes full circle. You grow up watching the Cubs on WGN with Harry Carey and Ryan Sandberg and Mark Grace and all those guys, and to see where it's come full circle now, it's kind of special, to be honest with you.
Well, if you're not throwing out the first pitch on opening day, I don't know what they're doing over there. So, but I also wonder, Ben, as we see those pictures Mully referenced and we hear the story of you growing up a Cubs fan, all those trips here, I just wonder, you're an ambitious young guy. You're a bright individual. I just wonder, at what point in time, was Chicago always a destination for you professionally? Even before you got to Detroit, even before this job became a possibility, did you, in your wildest dreams, always think, well, one day I want to live here. I want to have my family here?
David, I tell you this, man. It's the time I've spent here last few years, there's no question that helped me find comfort. You know, when particularly I'm interviewing for this job, and I feel such great pull from George and Kevin and Ryan and the family atmosphere. And then it piggybacks onto what I already know about the places here, the institutions here, the people are so friendly. I love the Midwest in general. I think it's a great place to raise kids. And so, yeah, it certainly played a large role. And honestly, the whole thing was a no-brainer once it all came together. And I just saw the vision for this franchise, this organization, where we want to go. And I really believe we can get there with the leadership we have in place. So you combine that with the location. You combine that really with the people and the city. It all felt right to me.
You know, I think that as a math major and a computer science guy, I can't help but wonder, like, how does your brain work as you watch football? I thought it was awesome that you said you and the quarterback need to sit together, and he needs to understand what the play caller is thinking. You need to understand how he looks at the game. You're going to watch tape together. And I got to tell you, like, I'm fascinated by that. I'm fascinated by how your brain works as a math guy. Are you computing everything? When it comes to fourth downs, you come from a coach that was always making – did you sometimes think this is insane? Or, yes, the numbers say yes. How do you do that? What is it – what's going through your head?
I'm all on board. Analytics, there's no doubt within a game, you're thinking through all the scenarios as quickly as you can. You're trying to compute it in your head. And it helps when you have somebody on the line that – has already done it and can help you out. But that plays a large factor. Here's what I tell you is that background that I have, particularly with software, was about designing and building, and you create that vision and you see it come to fruition. And nothing's more fulfilling than an idea that you had, it comes to life. And in that particular instance, it was within a software computer context. How that's transitioned for me now as a coach is you get into coaching as a position coach, and it's the same thing with a player. You have a plan for that player. How do you get them better? How do you improve them? And then you look to execute that plan together. And it's such a beautiful thing to see a player grow and improve. Same thing when I move over to coordinator. Now it's more in an offensive context, the entire unit. You have a vision for what it's going to look like. How do we build it? How do we bring it all together? And it takes so many people to see it happen. And, you know, the success we had the last few years, I mean, I think it's, that's what really makes you feel good at the end of the season. And so it's really no different now as a head coach. It's, this is the vision. This is really the design of what we're trying to get done, the culture we're trying to instill within this building. And this, the challenge is going to be to get the right guys in here, the coaching staff, and augment the talent level that we already have here and see this thing come to life just like we're planning on doing. But to me, that's the fun part of it, is the building together, because it's hard. But when it's done the right way, it's so, so fulfilling and beautiful at the end.
We're talking with Bears head coach Ben Johnson here on The Score. And Ben, everybody loves the trick plays. You got us on the stumble bum when you were here with the Lions in December. We saw the double lateral last week. Oh, my gosh.
That's a great idea.
That was great and creative. And I think you become known for certain things. And yet, at the same time, it's more than that. I loved when you talked about not installing the Lions offense in Chicago. It's going to be an offense tailored around the skill set of the players you have. And yet you still have to have the ideas that you bring to the table. Could you distinguish between what we have referred to often in this town and football cities as a play collector, guys who do have great innovation and offensive minds, versus play callers, and how you have to sequence plays early to set them up for later, and how that all comes together? Because you've got to have more than just these trick plays that people remember. You've got to have an overall system plan.
Yeah, listen, it's always predicated on the foundation and the fundamentals. And so springtime is going to be about simple things like ball security, how to catch the football, how to run after catch, proper fundamentals of blocking. Like, these are the building blocks that we cannot overlook. All the bells and whistles, those are fun. Those are fun for the fans. And I'll tell the guys this as well. We are in the entertainment industry, and we are entertainers on game day, and that's part of it. We're competitors, and we need to win, but also let's have a little fun while we're doing it. And so that's a big portion of it, but none of it can be done unless the fundamentals are really hammered home. And so that'll be our challenge here. How far can we push the fun part, the trick plays, the all that stuff? I'd love to get to it, but we'll see what our guys can handle, what they can do well. End of the day, we're going to do things that we trust our players to do. As a play caller, I do love the thought of showing one thing early in the game and circling back to something different later. I love the thought of what is our last four games look like to the opposition, because that's probably what they're practicing. So how can we use that information against them? You know, all those things, they all play a part in terms of the game plan and how we call it. But really, it comes down for our players. They have to understand a deuce block, a deuce combination in the run game. Man, we got to master that fundamental. And once we do that, then we can add a bunch of different layers to it. Same thing on defense. We got to be great at block protection in terms of getting up, shedding blocks and getting to the ball carrier. And once we master those fundamentals, now we can add maybe a couple more pressures, or we can add a couple more coverages there on the back end to make it even harder for the opposition. So we'll take this thing as far as our players are willing to take it. And right now, I'm getting to know this crew. I'm getting to know this locker room, and I've been really encouraged by the players I've already met and everything I've heard from Ryan in the meantime.
Yeah, it was a real show of respect, the guys who showed up, and it was wonderful, the dichotomy of seeing you one day telling the building how important the locker room, and then the next telling the players to prepare to prepare to be uncomfortable. I thought that kind of combination of the way you were talking to people was excellent.
Listen, Molly, these guys, they want to be great. I really believe that every player in this locker room, that's what they want to do. They want to become great. And that looks different for every player. Greatness looks different for every player. But it'll be our job as coaches to hold them accountable, all right, set the bar really high. We're going to push them out of their comfort zone. But at the same time, they're going to know it's all within their best interest. We're going to have a great support system built up around them. We'll set that bar high, but it's also because we feel like they can get there and they can achieve that. So that's going to be the balance that we'll strike with these guys. And that was really the feedback from this locker room that I've gathered from the end of last year. That they want that. They want to be challenged. They want to be coached. And so I think it's going to be very receptive, that message going forward.
Ben, there was so much reported about you being the leading candidate among head coaching possibilities in Chicago, in Las Vegas, in Jacksonville. And there was always a suggestion that you wanted to have your own front office personnel executive to bring with you. And that maybe if you had a sitting general manager like Ryan Poles, it would be an impediment to you taking this job. Turned out that wasn't the case. You spoke about being in lockstep with Ryan Poles, about you guys sharing a past at Boston College, working at the same cubicle, for goodness sakes. So how would you describe that relationship, how it's come together. And look, you know how it works in NFL cities. Everybody wants to know the new guy in town with the big contract. Are you the guy who has the final say on roster decisions when you're talking with your general manager?
Listen, everything we do is going to be together. I didn't know Ryan, so I got to BC right after he had left, and so there was a lot of crossover in terms of the people that we knew. I did my research on him. He did his research on me. I think we both felt really good going into the interview, and we ended up hitting it off. I think we've gotten along really well in that interview setting, and we've been excellent so far. And I totally expect that to be the case moving forward. We see the vision for this program being exactly the same, and I'm just beyond excited to find a partner like this. Here's what I'd tell you. Don't believe everything you hear floating around out there in the media, because rarely does it ever come from me, right? So I found exactly what I was looking for right here, and it didn't take me very long on that interview to see the presence of George, Kevin, Ryan, the rest of the crew. It was everyone has a shared vision, and they're totally committed to building a team that this city's going to be proud of.
There's Ben Johnson, the new Bears head coach, with Mully and Hall this morning right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I like him, man. I really like the dude. Like, before he was hired, all we knew was offensive genius. That's all we knew. Good play caller, good play designer, great relationship and that he fostered with Jared Goff and developing him. We hadn't really seen a lot of the dude, the personality, and so far so good. Like I said, I think he won the press conference. I thought he was very good with Mully and Hall right there. If you missed any of it here on the replay, you can always check it out at 670thescore.com or on your Odyssey app using the rewind feature. He's knocking it out of the park as much as a coach can when he's not coaching. And his job is press conferences and interviews and trying to make a fan base feel good about his hire. He's doing that. He's hitting home runs. And I talked with Scott Baer earlier from the Marquee Sports Network, and he said he gets it. And that's, I think, a big factor for a head coach, really for anybody who's doing what they love for a living. You got to get it. And I think you either have that or you don't. And I think he seems to have that get it factor. And that's one thing, I among many other things, that I really like about Ben Johnson. Hopefully it translates to, wins on the field, playoff football, a relevant organization. That would be cool. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, is it too soon to have a conversation that Bears fans might not want to have? We'll talk about that right after this. Rami Makhlouf with you on the Score Evening Show on a Friday.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like by a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Night
told me that it'll be my offense. He's gonna, you know, build it around me and things like that. But also, you know, he's gonna test me. He's gonna challenge me in the off season and things like that to, what's worked and what works in the NFL and things that, you know, he may want me to get better at. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't fit me, if it doesn't work with me, then you know it won't be there.
We're back live with more Rami Mekloff on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There's Caleb Williams talking about what his new head coach and offensive play caller, Ben Johnson, is going to do to get the most out of him. Rami Mekloff with you till 9 o'clock. And guess what? Phone lines open for you for the next half hour for the final 90 minutes of the show. 312-644-6767. If you want to get in on the phones, on the Score listener line, which is powered by BetQL, bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com, or you can shoot me a text. Same number, 312-644-6767. And I want to ask you a question, and this is, look, some conversations are uncomfortable to have. Ben Johnson talked about, you know, sometimes those uncomfortable conversations are the things you need to have. You can't make progress without having those conversations. So I don't know. If it's too soon for this, but should we be having the discussion yet, or is it too soon that the Bears might have taken the wrong guy? And I'm not saying they did. I'm not saying they did. All right, so don't jump down my throat and get all mad. Is it too soon to have the Bears might have taken the wrong guy discussion? 312-644-6767. All season long, I was saying, pump your brakes whenever somebody would compare Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. I'd be like, it's their rookie year. Just calm down. Way too early for that. But this guy is going to play in the NFC Championship on Sunday, man. You know what I mean? Like, that you can't just brush that off and be like, whatever, it's their first year. This guy is going to be playing in the NFC Championship on Sunday. And I assume most of you know this, the implications of that game. If he wins that game, this dude is going to be playing for a Super Bowl championship in his rookie year. I mean, forget any stats, forget any eye test, forget anything else. That alone maybe has to make us have that conversation. Maybe. That's what I want to know from you. Is it too early to have the Bears might have taken the wrong guy conversation? 312-644-6767. And also, all year long, when people would make those comparisons between those two quarterbacks, I would always say, and this is true, this still holds true today, Caleb Williams has a lot more on his plate in terms of his responsibilities within the offense. He had a lot more say in the protections and audibles, everything. He was handed a lot more of the ownership of that offense than what Jaden Daniels was. Jaden Daniels has been asked to do a lot less than Caleb Williams in terms of his role in the offense and how much of it he's calling and commanding. They're treating Jaden Daniels more like a rookie than the Bears did. But, and this I didn't know until I came across it in Mike Sando's piece at The Athletic, talking about Jaden Daniels and how much of the load he's carrying for this Washington Commanders football team. He is one of five quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era to take five rookie quarterbacks, I should say, in the Super Bowl era to take his team to a Super Bowl or take his team to an NFC championship. The other four were Brock Purdy, Mark Sanchez, Joe Flacco, and Ben Roethlisberger. Those, what all those guys had that Jaden Daniels does not is really good defense and special teams. Brock Purdy, according to EPA, it's like the football equivalent of war, if you're not familiar. According to EPA, Brock Purdy, when he went to the Super Bowl, his defense and special teams ranked number one in the league. Mark Sanchez, when he went to the NFC Championship, his defense and special teams were number three in the league. Joe Flacco, they were three in the league. Ben Roethlisberger, their defense and special teams, when he went to the AFC Championship as a rookie, were number four in the league. Robbie Triano, on the other side of the glass, you didn't read this article. I didn't run this number by you before the show started.
Correct.
Do you know where Washington ranks right now, defense and special teams, in terms of EPA?
Just
any number between 1 and 30.
I'm going to go middle of the pack. Give me 16.
24th.
Oh, that's not 16.
24th, dude. He and this offense are carrying more of the load than any offense led by a rookie before that's made it this deep into the playoffs. He's for everything I said about Caleb Williams and his responsibilities within the offense compared to Jaden Daniels and his responsibilities and ownership of the offense, for all of that, and like I said, all that still holds true for this guy as a rookie and with a team that doesn't have very much on the other side of the football or in special teams. And Bears fans saw how much special teams can kill you and how much it can help you just in the two Packers games alone. We saw how much special teams can kill you or help you, and that's magnified in the postseason. He has carried this football team to an NFC championship as a rookie. And it makes me wonder if it's too soon to have this conversation of maybe, just maybe, the Bears took the wrong guy. 312-644-6767. I think it is too soon. For everything I just said, I think it is too soon. Because I do think that the situation plays a major role in any quarterback. It plays a major role in their success or failure, and especially as a rookie. And Jaden Daniels, while he doesn't have the defense and he doesn't have the special teams to help him to, you know, keep points off the board, to give him good field position consistently, while he doesn't have that, what he did have was a stable situation. New ownership in Washington that completely changed the way that they do business in that building. New GM, new head coach who's been to a Super Bowl before, an offensive coordinator who knows what he's doing, unlike Shane Waldron. He's got a good offensive line. He's got Terry McLaurin and Zach Ertz, two-headed monster at running back between Robinson and Eckler. He had a lot more going for him than Caleb Williams did in his rookie year in terms of the guys around him, the offense around him. He didn't have the defense and the special teams, and the Bears are probably better in those categories than Washington was, quite frankly. But he had a much better, to use Ryan Poles' terminology, nest to grow and develop in his rookie year than what Caleb Williams did. I don't need to tell you this. Caleb Williams' play caller got fired. His head coach got fired. He had three offensive coordinators, seven starting offensive line combinations. He was sacked 68 times, the third highest total in NFL history. Hard to grow in that environment. That is not a nest.
But I will say this. He's going to have everything that I just told you Caleb Williams, or that I just told you Jaden Daniels had in his rookie year. He's going to have that in year two. He already had the weapons in year one. He's getting Ben Johnson, who was hired largely to get the most out of him as a quarterback. I would assume with all the draft picks and all the cap room that they got, that the offensive line is going to be addressed. At least three of those positions on the offensive line are going to be addressed. And by the end of next year, if we're still talking about Jaden Daniels doing things that no quarterback has done in year two of his career, and we're talking about, you know, hey, do you think Caleb Williams will figure it out? By then, we will have that conversation. And by then, it'll be looking like the Bears might have taken the wrong guy. But I think it's too soon to have that discussion. How about you? 312-644-6767. I got one more segment to get your calls in, your texts, right here on the Score Evening Show. Rami Makhlouf with you on a Friday night.
I mean, I always believe that we could achieve more than what people give us credit for. But, you know, you got to go out there, put in the work. You got to go out there, work daily, get better each and every day. And just put your head down and grind. And by the end of the time of the season, you look up, you might be in a position like this.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was Jaden Daniels, who's headed to the NFC Championship in his rookie year, asking you, is it too soon to have that discussion of maybe the Bears took the wrong guy? I think it is. I think give it one more year, especially now that Caleb has his coach and his play caller, and you would hope the offensive line is fixed, and you would hope some of these weapons that he has start to live up to the expectations and the contracts that they got. So I think a year from now we can judge him. I will put this caveat on it, though. If he wins the Super Bowl, we're having that conversation. Because there is, I mean, he's part of a select few. He's part of a very elite group of quarterbacks that have actually won Super Bowls. And there have been very good quarterbacks who have come and gone in this league and never won a Super Bowl. So even if Caleb Williams, you know, reaches his ceiling, he might, it's still possible he might never win one. So if this dude wins one in his rookie year, I think it's a conversation worth having. But right now, I even with him being in the NFC Championship and playing to go to the Super Bowl, I think it's too soon. How about you? 312-644-6767. Some breaking news during the break. No, it's not that the Ryan Pressly to the Cubs trade has been finalized. Still waiting on him to waive his no-trade clause for that to happen. But the Cowboys named their new head coach. It's Brian Schottenheimer. Yeah, that was my reaction, too. That is not a – well, he has named some, like, no-name or lesser-known coaches in the past, a few of them, but I really thought the guy was going to try and make a splash with this one. And my producer, Robbie Triano, pointed out during the break, at 9 o'clock on a Friday night, that's when you put out news that you don't want people talking about. And Jerry Jones knows this is a hire that either – is not going to make a splash, or Cowboys fans are just not going to be happy about it, and he'd rather just put it out now and let the smoke die down before the weekend is up and everybody gets
especially
back on
a major weekend in the NFL. No one will be talking about this on Monday.
No one will be talking about it on Monday. That's a great catch by you, Robbie, in terms of the timing of that announcement. And I got to say, and I'm going to get to your calls here in just one sec, 312-644-6767. I was going to feel good about the Ben Johnson hire no matter what because he was the guy I wanted them to hire. But the further we get into this coach hiring cycle, the better I feel about it. All due respect to Pete Carroll, who landed in Oakland, in Las Vegas today. That was not the guy I wanted. Aaron Glenn with the Jets. I mean, they're the Jets, so even if I liked Aaron Glenn, they're just going to Jets it up. You know what I mean? I'm feeling really, really good about the Ben Johnson hire the further we get into this hiring cycle. Let's get right out to the phones. Too early to have that discussion that maybe the Bears took the wrong guy. 312-644-6767. Let's go rapid fire before I wrap this thing up. In Homewood is Rich. Rich is on the Score. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good evening. Good Friday.
Thank you.
Listen, you're right on point, man. So let me preface it by saying that I would have traded the pick last year, but that's fine. I would have taken the crap ton of draft picks you could have gotten for Caleb Williams. But I think this was the wrong hire. His learning curve is going to be too big. I think that this is going to be another a wasted year for Caleb Williams. You had Mike McCarthy, who you can think what you want about Mike McCarthy. Numbers don't lie. The guy's like 100 games over 500. He's coached people like Aaron Rodgers, right? He's won a Super Bowl. He coached in Dallas. Maybe that wasn't so good, but the guy won 12 games in three consecutive seasons. You know, the guy has skins on the wall. He's a Super Bowl winning coach. He coached a Hall of Famer. He's an offensive guy. He's familiar with this division. He checks all the boxes. This was not the right hire. If you, if Caleb Williams is maybe his third year in or something like that, maybe, but this team is too raw. And this kid and the Bears have proven time and time again that they can't get people promotions, i.e. Matt Nagy, Eberflus. Eberflus was getting ready to get fired from the Colts, and the Bears gave him the keys to the franchise.
Yep.
I mean, the Bears can't do that, man.
Hey, Rich, I appreciate the call. I wanted to get in a few others. I wanted Ben Johnson, but I said if they don't hire Ben Johnson, you could do a lot worse than Mike McCarthy. And Rich makes a case that maybe Mike McCarthy was the better hire than Ben Johnson, just based on knowns versus unknowns, because everything he said is true. That guy has more wins than Sean Payton and Mike Tomlin, and has a Super Bowl, and has raised a level of three quarterbacks to MVP type of play. With Brett Favre, everybody thought he was washed up and uncoachable. Mike McCarthy turned that right around. Aaron Rodgers came in with a funky delivery and lots of question marks and red flags about his game coming from Cal. Mike McCarthy fixed that all up. And Dak Prescott went from being a pretty good quarterback in Dallas to a legit MVP candidate. So I agree with Rich. I don't understand, you know, people make Mike McCarthy out to be some kind of joke or clown, or they just don't want anything to do with him as a coach. And I don't entirely get it, especially for the Bears situation and having a quarterback like Caleb Williams. But I did want Ben Johnson. Let's go to Tim and Wheaton. Tim, you're on the score. What's up, buddy?
Rami, loving the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for making it.
So first, yeah, I think you have to take Ben Johnson. Just to respond to the last caller, like it's not even a debate. Mike McCarthy's a solid coach, but that's the safe pick. Ben Johnson, what he's done with Jared Goff. Look at the numbers for Goff before he got there and then after Ben Johnson got there. So I think that's a no-brainer. Just have to say that. But it's not too early to have the discussion on Caleb versus Jaden Daniels. Look, 2 years ago, Caleb wins the Heisman. Last year, Jaden Daniels wins the Heisman. This is not, you know, things are changing. Things are evolving with these two. But right now, Jaden is better. But I think Caleb had a great year for the Bears with probably the most dysfunctional offensive situation you could have possibly put him in. And still 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, made some amazing plays. But like Jaden Daniels did throw the deep ball better. And Jaden Daniels with his legs can like wreck a game where Caleb can hurt you with his legs. But Jaden Daniels right now, I think he is playing better. But let's give Caleb the year, like you said, with Ben Johnson. Then we can really have this debate at the end of next year.
Yeah, let's. Thanks for the call, Tim. I appreciate it. Let's put him in a situation for 1 year that we hope is as good as what Jaden Daniels had his rookie year in Washington. And honestly, maybe even a better situation because of what I said about Jaden Daniels and the defense and special teams that he's dragging to the NFC Championship and possibly the Super Bowl right now. Combined ranked 24th in defense and special teams, according to EPA, where Brock Purdy, his rookie year going to the NFC Championship, had the number one defense and special teams. Mark Sanchez had number three. Joe Flacco had number three. And Ben Roethlisberger had number four while those guys were leading their respective teams to a championship game in their rookie year. If the Bears defense can be as good as what we saw in the first half of this year and what we saw in the last couple games of the year, and you fix the things around Caleb Williams that were broken on the offense, you're talking about a better situation than what Jaden Daniels was in here in year one. That's assuming they make some smart moves and use all their resources and assets wisely this offseason. That's a big assumption when you're talking about the Bears. But if they can do that, he'll be in a better position and situation than what Jaden Daniels has. And if he has that and still can't perform up to that level, then we definitely need to have that conversation. Miguel, I have about 1 minute before I got to wrap this thing up. You're on the score. What's up, Miguel?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, what I wanted to say, you know, I think it's too early, but I think we got the right quarterback. I think that debate, we'll wait till after the next season and see everything plays out. But what I wanted to focus was on the actual draft that's coming up, and I'm hoping Coach Johnson has his scouts and everybody ready, because the last few seasons the Bears have just made, besides Caleb Williams, bad, I would say draft choices. I mean, they skipped on, they had the opportunity to take Jalen Carter last year, and they skipped on him. They even skipped on a few years ago when actually, Derrick Henry was available. They actually missed on that one, too. They had the opportunity to sign him last offseason, and that didn't work out. They got Swift. But, I'm just hoping they were able to make some solid picks this year, and if not, some smart, either via trade or free agent signings, just to shore up the offensive line.
Hey, Miguel, I appreciate the call. I do got to wrap it up, and I'm with you. I mean, good on you for getting Ben Johnson, but Ryan Poles has a lot of work to do, and he's made some mistakes with this roster. He's made some serious mistakes with this roster that need to be fixed. My thanks to Scott Baer of the Marquee Sports Network, Adam Rank of the NFL Network, as well as Chuck Swirsky, the voice of the Chicago Bulls, who you can hear take on the Sixers tomorrow, 7 o'clock tip-off right here on the Score. If you missed any of those conversations or anything on today's show, including our replay of Ben Johnson, check it out at 670thescore.com or on your Odyssey app using that rewind feature. My thanks to all of you for listening, contributing to the show, and my thanks to Robbie Triano on the other side of the glass for putting together a good show for you and me tonight. Till next time, I'm Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening to the Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.